Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the latest installment of Life Coaching with Mike Fitch. First thing I would like to do is let everybody know that I have decided to venture into the world of life coaching for real and have started my own company. It is called Project Phoenix. It is an LLC, Project Phoenix Life Coaching LLC, to be exact. You can find it on Facebook. You can find it on Instagram at projectphoenix.lc. And thanks to my very dear friend Sandra for the logo and her current work on my website, which will be up and running shortly. So my whole objective with this venture is to help people help themselves, basically. I want people to find success. And if I can be of assistance in that process, then that's what I want to do. So if you know of anybody interested in mentoring or life coaching services, please send them my way. Today's podcast is going to be on what is versus what if. So let's ask ourselves if we are living the what is or the what if. It is a look at conduit unity consciousness, which is the what is, versus victim control consciousness, which is the what if. So are we living the narrative and the storyline that we create in our head, or are we feeling into what is and attempting to be present in this exact moment? Now, these seem like very deep, very theoretical questions, and they are. But the significance of what if versus what is has been extremely impactful for me in helping navigate my perspective on my own thoughts, my own mental approaches. Most of us spend an inordinate amount of time living in the past. We're either celebrating what happened, we're embracing nostalgia, living with regret, or considering the future, also known as future tripping, be it either good or bad. Using it as some type of fairyland escape revolving around winning the lottery or finding the love of your life, or creating a tremendous amount of anxiety over what could be, with an intense anticipation of pending doom, needlessly spinning your wheels, wasting energy on things that you cannot control or change. So those are all the aspects that can come out of what if. Our mind loves what if. It loves to spin and spin and spin and spin over things that are completely and utterly out of our control, simply because they have already happened and can't be changed, or they have not happened yet and we are doing some needless prognostication about what could potentially happen in the future, be it good or bad. The question comes down to, am I focusing on what is, or am I focusing on what if? What is brings you into the present moment, grounds you, helps you eliminate stress brought on by past events or future tripping. It's your attempt to be here now. Well, how can you tell? Well, you ask yourself, are you living the narrative and the story that we create in our head out of fear or pessimism or doubt? Or are we feeling into what is and being here in the present moment? I know I keep saying these same things, but it is a difficult concept for people to grasp, including myself. The narrative is the thing we continue to tell ourselves to perpetuate our current state of discontent, to justify our habits, our feelings, our circumstances, how we were wronged, or how good things used to be, or how different things could be if only. You might be saying, why in the world would we want to perpetuate our current state of discontent? Because changing that requires change, and change is terrifying. People would much rather wrap themselves up in the warm blanket of familiarity than attempt change, than to look inward and see exactly what it is about themselves that needs to be adjusted, changed, acknowledged, recognized, resolved. People don't want to do that. It's terrifying. They would rather perpetuate their current state of discontent because it's familiar. It's comfortable. This feeling that I have in my stomach, this feeling that I have in my chest, this stress reaction that I have is normal for me. I can count on it. It's consistent. It doesn't mean it's healthy. It doesn't mean it's right, but that's why people do it. And it's completely justifiable. I completely understand why people do it. But if you're tired of that and you want to change it, you have to drop the narrative. You have to drop the story. It ties you down. You will immediately say, but what if? Or, yeah, but you don't understand. Here's what happened. No. I get it. I completely understand. I've done the exact same things. And when my friend Liz continually told me, you got to drop the storyline. You got to drop the narrative. I'm like, what in the hell are you talking about? I don't know what that means. I had no clue what it meant to drop the story and just feel for a very long time in my journey. I would routinely make myself feel guilty and fill myself with regret and shame and guilt over and over and over, reliving my dark night of the soul as if I already didn't know the story. Telling myself the story again and again produced absolutely no results. No change, no relief, but my mind dug it. It loved playing it on a loop, having a song on repeat over and over. It was familiar. I know what happened. Reliving it, beating myself up over it, accomplished absolutely nothing. I had to drop the story. The story is irrelevant. What I needed to get to was the trauma, the scarring that occurred, or deeper yet, the unresolved issues that caused me to act out in the first place. By being present, you allow yourself to feel into your shadow, your trauma, your issue, whatever it is you want to call it. That is the deeper underlying subconscious feeling at the root of your what if. You have to sit with it, which also used to confuse me when people, well, just sit with it. Sit with what? My friends that have helped me through this process and on this journey know exactly what I'm talking about. I was not an easy person to help. It simply means to quietly sit. Meditation, prayer, whatever you would like to call it, introspection. Sit with yourself and feel and breathe into what you are actually feeling. Where is it? What is it? What's the root of it? Does it have a name? Does it have a face? Does it have a color? Does it have a feeling? Where does it show up in your body? Resort to your heart, not your mind. Feel it in your body. Does it cause tension? Does it make your stomach upset? Does it give you heart palpitations? Where do you physically feel it in your body? By sitting quietly and breathing, you want to calm the mind and get into your body and allow it to lead you to the answer that already exists inside yourself. Which past pain is lingering there waiting to be acknowledged? Which part of you is yearning to be seen, heard, accepted? Some people will refer to things like this as inner child work, right? You have to go back and find those traumas and unearth them, bring them to the surface, acknowledge them, increase your awareness so that they no longer have this subconscious power over you that are blindly making these decisions for you because you have this awareness of how that impacts your decision-making. Ah, I know why I continually pick the wrong person. I know why I continually avoid conflict. I know why I continually avoid crucial conversations. And the awareness is just the first step. I know this sounds extremely theoretical, very ethereal, and difficult to wrap your head around because it is not a strong, concrete answer with a step-by-step path on how to achieve it. If you do A, B will happen. You do B, C will happen. It may take time. And it will most certainly take patience. My very dear friend put me on the path to understanding, continuing to tell me to quit with the narrative, quit telling myself the same story over and over and over, and just feel. My breakthrough moment occurred in a book she recommended to me by Pema Chodron. P-E-M-A-C-H-O-D-R-O-N. I recommend any and all of her books. This book was called Start Where You Are. She has another really good one called Things Fall Apart. In that book, she says, we are discovering how to hold our seat and feel completely what's underneath all that storyline of wanting, regret, despair, etc. We are advised to drop the storyline, which means instead of acting out or repressing, use the situation as an opportunity to feel your heart, to feel the wound. When you're faced with conflict or controversy, you're faced with that crucial conversation, you're faced with potentially leaning into someone you know isn't good for you in spite of the red flags, you will get that feeling. And rather than ignoring it and considering it normal, you will feel into it and figure out where that's coming from. And it will increase your awareness and help you to make decisions that are more in your best interest. It will help you walk into the fear by realizing that those are the difficult conversations you need to have with yourself. Identify where your angst is coming from. What is the root of why I am determined to live in the past or stress about the future instead of being right here, right now? Underneath all of that discontent about yourself, craving, aversion, jealousy, hopelessness, despair, and depression, there is an answer to all of that, but it does not come from avoiding it or continually fixating on it. Or what else do we like to do? Right? We like to distract ourselves. We like to drink. We like to smoke. We like to overwork. We turn to sex. We turn to TV. We turn to any type of activity that's going to keep us busy and occupied and help us avoid looking at ourselves. So once again, you have to drop the story and feel what the root of your discontent is. Begin to become comfortable feeling what's underneath the narrative you are telling yourself. In doing this, you are making friends with yourself. It will give you the chance to work on peace and kindness towards you and all the soft spots created by past trauma and pain. We don't need to act out or repress ourselves unnecessarily. We can work to transform all of our messy stuff. Everything that has happened to us in the past that caused us to harden in order to protect our soft spots can be resolved. We were exposed. We experienced pain. Maybe we were embarrassed. So we unconsciously decided to never let that happen again. So we put up this hardened shell around parts of ourselves. Now, whenever that spot gets hit, if we don't deal with it, feel it, befriend it, it will manifest itself in some unhealthy way. Anger, resentment, martyrdom, addiction, acting out, impatience, stress, overeating, overdrinking, drugs, etc. So, we can either be okay with those manifestations and just wrap up in our blanket of comfort and familiarity. Embracing our past traumas, unconsciously allowing them to control our actions, or we can drop the story, feel into those soft spots to help us become more our true selves. And that's kind of the key, right? To find our true selves. Like the beautiful part of us that's still in there. Before all the traumas started getting stacked up, before all the pain started creating all these hard shells around parts of us. That youthful, vibrant, beautiful piece of ourselves is still hiding in there somewhere. We have to unearth it. This takes quiet time alone with yourself, which I realize most of us avoid at all costs. We stay busy and distracted, so we continue to ignore those soft, tender spots. It takes meditation, prayer, internal dialogue in order to befriend those shadows, engage with them, and heal. It's a scary proposition. Turning in is hard. It's terribly hard. It's challenging. According to W.H. Auden, we would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in our dread than climb the cross of the moment and let our illusions die. It was one of my favorite quotes. We would rather be ruined than changed. We would rather die in our dread than climb the cross of the moment and let our illusions die. That's all about dropping the storyline. That's all about the fear of change, the dread that we have in turning inside ourselves and figuring out what it is that causes these behaviors that we don't like in ourselves. The musician Tom Waits always has a way to keep me honest with one of his song lyrics that says, "Come on down from the cross, we can use the wood." It's a good reminder for me to feel into what I'm experiencing and quit martyring myself. To get myself down off the cross and do something useful with that wood instead of continuing to use it to flagellate myself over and over and over again, victimizing myself and, of course, accomplishing nothing. Our narrative, our storyline, is perpetuating our illusions. It is the story we tell ourselves that keeps us shackled invisibly in our own mind. The mind is a difficult place. The ego wants to keep us safe. The ego relies heavily on logic, and that creates the hamster wheel, the retelling of the story over and over and over again. The monkey mind, right? Everybody's got that voice in their head that won't shut up, right? Which in the end does absolutely no good. We have to identify the real issue that is ourselves and our constant desire to live in the mind. We have to move beyond the mind and search deeper. We have to sit with it, sit with ourselves, calm our mind and feel. It's hard to get out of our own way, but no one else can do it for us. We have to do it all by ourselves. Not necessarily alone, but nobody else can look inside you and find those answers. It is hard to get out of our own way. I acknowledge that. But that's the goal. I understand the fear. I have thoroughly embraced the fear and let it control me and avoid at all costs making necessary discoveries and changes within myself, and my life eventually blew up. I still avoid it and need constant encouragement from my inner circle to look inward for the answers, to identify my triggers and traumas. Because there is no completion. There is no enlightenment. There is no fruition. This journey is ongoing. It is absolutely an endless process. It's all a journey. And all we can do is continually expand and improve and progress. And the closer we get to the point where we live in the what is rather than the what if, the better we will be. Thank you for listening. Again, this is Mike Fitch with Life Coaching. Don't forget to check my Facebook page for Project Phoenix Life Coaching, or find me on Instagram at projectphoenix.lc. I appreciate you all. We'll see you next time.